My name's Dominic Hodgson. I'm the chair of the Barros Education Committee, and I'm joined today by Phil Cornford, who's the chair of the SAC, and we are going to discuss the new curriculum. So in line with all hospital specialties, the new outcome-based urology curriculum comes into effect in August, and we're mindful that this is going to be challenging for both trainers and learners. And as an organisation, Barros wants to do everything we can to support you all during this transition. This podcast is the first in a number of initiatives that we're going to do over the coming months to try and make that transition as easy and as effective as possible. So, Phil, I'd like to start by asking you, why are the curricula changing and what are thought to be the advantages of that change?
So the curricula is going to change for everybody, and it's changing in part because we want to see integration of generic professional capabilities. It's going to be one of the new buzzwords that you're going to learn as the new curriculum rolls out. And it's important because it deals with a lot of the issues that the GMC has recognised are important in why people run into trouble in independent practice. We largely don't run into trouble because we're unable to do an operation. If you run into trouble there, a friend or colleague will be able to help you. But a lot of it is to do with attitudes and professional behaviour. And it's those things that are being incorporated into the curriculum that will allow us to help people as they come through maintain the appropriate standards that the GMC require.
So you said one of the buzzwords there is generic professional capabilities. The other word that we're going to hear a lot is CIPs, or capabilities in practice. So could you tell us a bit more about that?
So rather than us worrying about doing lots and lots of tick box work-based assessments, we're going to instead move towards professional review. There will be an assessment by your trainers, and ideally no longer just one trainer, but a number of trainers that you work with, that will allow us to take an overall assessment in how you are managing. SIPs are going to be based on five main areas. Can you manage an outpatient clinic? Can you manage a theatre list? Can you do a post-take ward round? Can you manage the acute take? And can you manage a MDT?
Okay, and what evidence will be produced by the trainee to demonstrate that they've achieved those?
There'll be a combination of assessments, and there will be still some work-based assessments that will be part of this, but we expect trainees to need much less in the way of work-based assessments. They'll be focused on the key parts of training that are core to all urology, and there will also be some specific things that trainees or trainers will want to include. Trainees, in order to show that they have experience in a particular area, and trainers in order to be able to satisfy themselves that they are making progress. And so you will agree as part of your learning agreement each year that certain things you will need evidence for.
New curriculum's coming in August. So when will it be that trainees change to the new curriculum?
There will be a gradual change across to the new curriculum. And indeed, everybody will have changed across to the new curriculum by August 23. For those trainees currently in training, they will move across to the new curriculum at the ARCP after the beginning of August this year. So if your ARCP's in October, you will move then. And if your ARCP is not until June 22, you won't move until June 22.
Okay, thank you. And we talked a bit there about the impact on the trainees and what evidence they need to acquire. Can you talk any more about the impact that it will have on trainers?
There'll be two big differences for trainers. We're used to thinking about competency level, and what we're going to think about is supervision level, described really as how much supervision do I need to give this trainee to do this task. The easiest way of thinking about it is perhaps for something in theatre. So what traditionally we thought of as watching a procedure, level one, will again be a supervision level one, or really to participate in more than a fairly cursory way. For those people who are slightly more advanced, level two is I'm prepared to supervise the trainee, but I will need to be scrubbed in while we do it. Level three will be I am happy to supervise this trainee, but I won't need to be scrubbed in doing it while it's happening. Level four is that I'd be prepared to allow this trainee to do the procedure when I wasn't in the room. And level five is I would be prepared to allow this trainee to teach someone else to do this procedure.
Thank you. So you mentioned about the learning agreement. So we're used to setting learning agreement at the beginning of a placement and then reviewing it at the end of the placement. Will that change at all?
It will change because the other big thing that's going to happen is the multi-consultant report. What we've traditionally seen as the learning agreement will be incorporated into a multi-consultant report. And I think this reflects the way that training is done. In the past, people were trained by a particular educational supervisor. But largely, we work now as part of larger teams, and it's unusual to have just one trainer work with their trainee. And instead, a group of trainers will supervise training for this individual. And so what we're asking is at the beginning of that process, you take information that will be handed on from the last placement, and that's new, that the trainee sets out a set of objectives and you set out a set of objectives, and then the supervisor will meet with the trainee and discuss exactly how this will be achieved. You'll agree a common set of needs and objectives for the period you're there. Halfway through that period, on the basis this is a year-long attachment, you will then have a review of progress so that people are in a position where they can say, this is what I've done and this is what I haven't done. And there'll be an opportunity to say, these are the extra bits that haven't quite worked for whatever reason, and you'll be able to make changes. And then at the end, the process will happen for a final time in that allocation. And that will then be, the final bit will be fed in eventually to your ARCP. And it will become the report and it will be the basis of what the next group of trainers know about this individual.
So will that multi-consultant report in many ways replace the clinical supervisor's reports that sometimes augmented the AES report for the ARCP?
It will indeed. And it probably is a formalisation of what's gone on in many departments anyway. We've got used to the idea that a department will sit and talk about trainees and their progress. We have encouraged that to happen. And now we're trying to formalise that. And for trainers, the multi-consultant report has within it a number of phrases that you can select that should hopefully allow you to give criticism constructively and in a way that supports the view of a team so that you feel protected, but without being overtly negative.
From what you said, it sounds like, to a large extent, indicative numbers will no longer be required, but we still have something called critical conditions. I wonder if you could tell me a bit more about that.
So indicative numbers have largely been abandoned. They were produced because they were roughly the experience that a trainee had at the time of CCT. And they were used as a way of encouraging people to expand across the breadth of urology. And I think it's really important to mention that the breadth of urology hasn't changed. The curriculum isn't changing at all. You're not going to know a different amount of material at the end of this. We are just going to assess it in a slightly different way. So coming back to what are core procedures, most of us would recognise that urology has a core number of things you would expect every urologist to be able to manage. Bladder outflow obstruction, ureteroscopy and laser of lower ureteric stones, resection of a bladder tumour, penis growth surgery and the like. And so there is a short list of things that we expect everybody to be able to achieve competency in. And by that we mean level 4 supervision, that your consultant will be happy to allow you to do a list of such procedures while they sat in the coffee room. They need to be available probably because they still need some supervision, but it's not that they are going to continue to intervene while you do things. And that's because when you start on day one as a consultant, you need to be capable of doing all these things without someone else looking over your shoulder. And we encourage trainees to be able to get to that standard in the safety of training, and rather than when they have already become independent practitioners.
Will the ARCP be any different for the trainees?
So the ARCP shouldn't be very different from the trainees. Obviously, the ARCP has been very different because of COVID, but from a trainee's point of view, you should know what outcome you're likely to get from your ARCP well in advance, because you will have seen the multi-consultant report and discussed it with your trainer before you go to an ARCP. And if you feel that isn't fair, or that you have an issue with what's gone on, that should have been discussed before the ARCP happens. The ARCP will get that report, they will look through the logbook, they will check to make sure that the information is gained and that you are managing across a range of urology, and that shouldn't make a great deal of difference. There is a slight change happening in terms of the fact that what we've often seen as a possible bottleneck at ST4 is really going to become quite a firm bottleneck at ST5. So training is separating slightly into phase one, what we would have previously thought of as core training, phase two, ST3 to ST5, and then phase three, ST6 and ST7. And at the end of ST5, there are a number of competencies that you will be required to have achieved. And when you pass through that, you will then be allowed to set FRCS Urol. But if you don't have those competencies, then it's likely that you will be given extra time for training at that point, rather than finding that these core competencies you're still chasing in your senior years.
So that's a waypoint to ST5. Are there any other waypoints we should be aware of?
For those people on a run-through curriculum, in effect, there is a waypoint to ST2, but there isn't another waypoint. So for urology, there will only be one waypoint to ST5.
Can I ask you now about specialist interest modules? Because it sounds like after ST5, when the FRCS role has been passed, at that point, the trainee would start a specialist interest module. So do you anticipate that they will start later this year?
Those people electing to transfer, and for those senior trainees who want to, they will be able to elect to transfer in August. We said that you only have to move at your ARCP after August, but I think there'll be some people who see a benefit in the new curriculum and will ask to move, and there will be flexibility given to people who want to move across to the new curriculum earlier, because I think that some people will see that this will align with their special interests. So going back to special interests are a recognition that most of us, even in an average district general hospital, don't do everything. They are not the same as a subspecialist, and they're not aimed to be a subspecialist. They are aimed to be a general urologist with an interest in. And so it probably won't allow independence in highly complex surgery, but it will allow us to show that we're more interested in laparoscopic nephrectomy or PCNL than female urology or paediatrics. And you will choose one of them, and then they will be available with discussion with TPDs. And we are talking to TPDs about the need to begin to identify posts which will allow these subspecial interests to be accommodated.
Can we just talk about the exam? So I think you described how the syllabus of what we need to learn hasn't changed at all. So will that mean that the exam won't change as a consequence of the new curriculum?
The exam won't change as a consequence of the new curriculum. There is a slight pre-planned change happening because we're going to single best answer questions in both papers, but that isn't related to the curriculum. That is a consequence of the exam itself. So the exam, as currently stands, will not change related to the curriculum.
What about CESAR applications? How will the new curriculum affect those individuals looking to apply for CESAR?
Currently, those people who are applying for CESAR can apply under either the old curriculum or the new curriculum. It is fair to say that when the new curriculum is rolled out in August, then they will only be able to apply under the new curriculum. And the new curriculum will change slightly what you are asked for. So if you choose to apply under the new curriculum, you will need to achieve the competencies that are defined in the curriculum, but you will also need evidence of multi-consultant reports and assessments for your generic professional capabilities, as well as the practice areas that we've already talked about, the SIPs. And there are assessments available or will be coming available in ISCP that will allow you to collect the information if that's what you want to do.
Okay, so there can be a choice as to whether you apply for the old or new curriculum, but does that expire after a certain amount of time?
It does. So when the old curriculum is no longer valid, which will be August 21, after that you will need to apply under the new curriculum.
August 21, not August 22?
August 21. There'll be nobody starting the new curriculum after August 21.
So does that mean that those CESAR applicants will have quite a lot of work to do in order to...
They will.
Yeah.
So if you're nearly ready to apply, you can apply before August. But if you are looking for CESAR and you think it'll be next year or afterwards, then there will be some change. So for those people who are interested in CESAR application, particularly SAS colleagues, it is going to be the focus of the next SAS webinar, and I will be attending that and answering questions about how CESAR will be available for doctors over this change. If you're interested, look up the webinar or the recording of it, depending upon when you're listening to this podcast.
That's really useful. You've identified this as one particular challenge for CESAR applicants. Can you think of other areas of challenge that there may be with the new curriculum coming in?
Well, I think it will probably be better for them. They will be able to show core competency. They will not be in a position where the indicative numbers are often what's driving what they're doing, but they will need to be able to show a broad range of experience and capability. The difficulty always for people who are applying through CESAR is what they hope they can do is demonstrate that they are capable of acting as a consultant urologist. But what they need to be able to do is to be able to demonstrate that they have achieved the competencies of someone at CCT. And they are subtly different. I, for example, haven't done any paediatric urology or any female urology and very little stone surgery in the last 5 years. And as a consequence, I wouldn't get a CESAR if I applied because my experience of those things is out of date. But I am capable of continuing to revalidate as a consultant urologist. And I think that The really important thing for people to understand about CSER is that you need to be able to hit the competencies to be signed off at CCT. And this is actually in statute. It would need a change in the law to change that. It's not within the gift of JCST or the SAC to say, do you know what? He's a jolly good chap and he's a fine member of our team. It has to be about whether you can achieve the same competence we ask of the trainees.
And what do you think of challenges for the trainees, like the deanery trainees and the trainers in general, that the new curriculum brings up?
I think it will allow us to have a professional assessment. I think some trainees will be worried, what happens if I don't get on with my trainer? And the hope is that you will have the assessment of more than one trainer. So it won't just be that you and Mr. Smith fell out, but it should be the view of the entire department. But I think trainees in particular are very worried that what happens if the multi-consultant report doesn't really reflect what I think has gone on. The time to sort that out is early at the interim assessment. So you'll agree to begin with what your objectives are, and halfway through, you will then assess what your objectives are and how you're achieving them. And it will be that bit that is the bit that will be most important. And if there is a problem then, don't hope that it will be made better. Now then is the time to try and do something about it. And if you can't get support inside the unit, then you might need to talk to the TPD about your concerns at that point. Because if you come to the end of a year and there's a problem, people will say, but did that only happen recently? And the time to assess it is at the beginning when you notice there's an issue.
Good. As I said at the beginning, we at BAUS have the intention of promoting this more widely and giving more support for this. We think that we'll probably run some webinars, which will involve questions and answers. And we also hope that at BAUS in June, we'll have a session on the new curriculum. And I would also say that the ISCP is a very good resource for this. So there's the website iscp.ac.uk/ISCP/curriculum-2021. And there's lots of information there and some videos as well, which tells you a bit more about SIPS and the multi-consultant report. Phil, thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to mention that you don't think we've covered?
No, thank you very much for the opportunity to answer questions and to promote this change, which is going to affect us all.
Thank you.